It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. Any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. The show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet, Mobile's oldest GM dealer, Alabama Piping Supply, and Ed Seafood Shed.
Fantabulous Seafood Shed.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I believe we have Mr. Nick on
the line. We have the fabulous owner from the Ed Seafood Shed.
I wasn't sure
you know where I was going.
I was on. You sound like Wolfman Jack.
Ooh, you never know what else, do you, Nick? Did I get the wrong
number? I pulled that way out of the bottom. Wolfman Jack. Yeah. You probably only three even know who that is.
Oh yeah. I know. Hey, I used to unscrew the antenna on my 46 Mercury, and put a coat hanger in end of it and stick it down in the ground, and I could pick up the Wolfman going way down in Tijuana, Mexico. Wow. But yeah, you could put that antenna, stick it in the ground. I don't know, it livened up that antenna on that radio, somehow. That AM radio.
Somehow, huh?
Yeah. Oh man.
Oh yeah. Old school, Nick, old school. Hey man, what's all that? You changing the bushwhackers for Easter? Come on.
Man, it's actually, you know, bushwhackers going crazy. There's so much stuff going on at Ed's. It's just the thing has taken off like a firecracker. I mean, you know, it's just been unbelievable as far as the business and all of our brands with our outside seating and, you know, always in pursuit of trying to get better and give, you know, just unbelievable food and service. And everybody's just working hard. You know, it's everybody in the industry right now are short people. So if you're out there and you want to work for some cool cats and you want to make some money, come apply. Ed's, Sunset Point, Panini Pete's, Squid Ink, we need you everywhere.
And a lot of openings at all four facilities. Yeah, that's awesome, man. That's great. You know, and
they can look on the Facebook page. It says, come apply. We actually are doing virtual interviews. We'll do it on the phone or via Zoom.
Yeah. Well, you know, I noticed all the older people that you had working there, that's the seasoned employees are still there, though.
Yeah, I mean, we have a good core nucleus of folks that have been there from the beginning. And I'd like to say a special shout out to Miss Mel. She's been there for 17, now going on 18 years. Even when we acquired it, she had been there a long, long time. She's in for surgery tomorrow, and she's at the hospital, and we're all praying for Miss Mel and speedy recovery.
Yeah, okay. And she's the fabulous lady that does the turnips, isn't it?
Grits,
the greens,
gumbo.
Yeah. All the grits, gumbo, all the good home-cooking foods.
Oh, yeah. She puts a little love in it for sure.
That is so true. Yeah, that is awesome. Well, you know, I see that on the Bushwhackers, every time we have a new holiday or event or something, you guys come up with some innovations with changing that. And now what you got in it for Easter?
We call it thematic wisdom.
What?
Thematic wisdom.
Thematic?
So we come up with whatever's going on, we put some wisdom to it. But, I mean, honestly, the way that we're doing Bushwhackers now, in about 3 weeks, we've been driving the Kia, but we're fixing to drive the Maserati. We're getting a machine in that can produce double the batch, three times the batch, as well as faster, quicker, and quieter.
Oh, my goodness.
But even better flavor. So we're super excited about that.
That is unbelievable. That's great. Well, what's happening with the Pasta House? Is that still an ongoing event?
Yeah, so Panini Pizza and Pasta, we're rolling along. You know, the biggest thing right now is that people have been penned up at the house. You know,
things are
starting to loosen up, and we're all still working same way, masks, sanitizers, temperatures in the morning, doing all that we've been doing. And, you know, they're supposed to lift it on the 9th. We'll continue to do it probably well past that just to be safer.
Right.
And, you know, the shots cleaning everything up for everybody, so – but people are getting out, man. It's pretty amazing to see the how many people are coming out on weekends and business and everybody understanding that, you know, we still have our tables spaced out. We're going to continue to keep them spaced out. But, you know, people are ready to get back outside.
It is unbelievable. And, you know, I was talking to a waitress today at a restaurant for lunch, and she was cleaning the table off and wiping it all off and spraying, you know, the whoopee juice on there, whatever it is. And I said, you know what? I think this is here to stay, this phase of it. She said, you know what? I don't have a problem with that. She said, I feel, you know, more reserved and being conservative for somebody to sit down at this table after I've cleaned it like that.
Well, what's been going on with what we're doing as far as what happened with COVID, we've been doing that.
Yep.
The only difference is we weren't wearing masks.
Right, right.
So
that's true.
We fall under a heavy scrutiny as it relates to being able to make sure that you're, you know, we do line checks twice a day. We do walkthroughs twice a day. We everyone takes a serve safe. Each manager gets a serve safe certification. So there is no change for us because we already do those habits. We had to wear a mask, but
right.
We'll continue to do what we're doing. And, you know, it's just hiring and training the right people. You know, how do we find those superstars? And they're there. You know, that's why we're going to do this, you know, virtual interview so that we can bring it to them instead of them coming to us and get their first interview out of the way and getting to know you. Because
we want
to expand our work family.
Do they have to have experience or not?
Experience is great, but it's not a game changer. I mean, I love to our teams love to hire people and take the piece of clay and shape it and watch them grow and, you know, go through training. You go through a server training, you're going to spend a week training, follow, lead, test. So there's a lot to it, but, you know, they'll learn a trade and it's a great business, and it can bring people out of their shells as far as personality goes. Teaches you time management, teaches you how to juggle. It's really a great experience. We'll be doing a lot of job fairs this week, the next 2 weeks, one at Spanish Fort, one at Daphne High School, one at Fairhope High School, and we're even doing something with the virtual school. So we're super, super excited to bring some new people into our work family and get to know them.
Well, you know, and as you say, it's that's an experience. If you learn that trade, you won't ever go hungry. You know,
you
could make a living too.
You get paid to feed people.
Right.
Usually, 99% of the time, people come and eat are in a great mood as it relates to food and beverage. You know, hey, I don't know if you noticed though, Tom, that bottom patio fully covered. Now,
uh-oh,
we've got two patios fully covered, and then we will start playing music.
There you go. All right. That's going to be awesome. I can't wait. Y'all have to put a blanket over me or something every night over there. I'll be sleeping out on the porch.
We're going to actually do a new grand opening at Ed's.
All right.
And I'll give you some more information
sure.
at a later date, but we're going to make it a big party.
Well, do that, and we need to get us a good remote over there around that time.
Yeah, let's do a breakfast remote, man. Let's
Why not?
Change it up a little bit.
Yeah, okay.
I know you're up 3 hours before breakfast even starts.
Don't you know? Yeah. I turn the lights on outside, make sure that the sun comes up.
Oh, yeah. Now, you know, daylight savings change, so it's a whole different game changer for the restaurant business. And, of course, you know, we have two locations that are known for their sunset. You got Sunset Point, where we celebrate the sunset by ringing the bell.
Right.
And then we got the other side of the sunset, Ed's 8 Seafood Shed. So
we've
been pretty lucky to get both sides of that.
That's awesome. Glad to have you on board tonight, Dick, and appreciate you bringing us up to date on what's going on with all your facilities.
All right, buddy. Thank you much. Have a great night.
Y'all have a blessed one, buddy. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Nick DeMario from the Potato Peak Group.
Yep. I appreciate Nick calling in. But tell you, always good food. Good people, too.
Oh, yeah. They got some good food, man. Tell you what. And if you want something different, get you some of that hot catfish.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
What you say?
We have, we got a little less than a minute, but we got a 2020 Honda Fit, just got two new tires on the back, over half tread rear went up front, now have a roar, but what do you think? Should you just rotate the tires, see if it moves? More than likely what you have, if those tires lived on the back of the vehicle for a while they cupped, And that noise you got is from the cupped wear that are on the tires that are on the front.
Yeah, it'll do that.
You're probably going to end up having to put two more tires on it to get rid of it. If you leave it up front for a little while, they may, you know, straighten themselves out. But what you run into, if you leave them up front too long, that means you've left the new ones on the back, and you'll set up a wear pattern on them.
Oh, okay.
So just got to be careful what you do, because you don't want to hurt your new tires by leaving them on the back too long. You know, if the noise is too much to deal with, you probably I'll just go ahead and buy you two more tires and be done with it. But sound like it's time for us to take a break, and we're going to let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
And once she's left me on the side of the road, the older she gets, the slower we go. But there ain't nothing wrong with the radio.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Well,
I'm trucking on tail.
Welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Ramsey along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. Well, Tom, you know, we've been talking about inventory issues and all that with GM and Ford and Dodge and
right.
Honda and all those groups. But I just heard that they had a fire in one of the chip factories in, I think it was China.
Oh, shut your mouth. Come on.
That,
again?
Yeah, you know, and it's affecting mostly, you know, the Asian brands, you know, the Honda, the Toyotas, and those vehicles. But it's, you know, it's going to roll over into
sure.
affecting the American made stuff.
Well, and yeah, because that'll get over into, you know, the gaming stuff too as well, because all the gaming components that they have now to play all these games has got these little chips in them.
Yep. But they're going to be another month before they get that line back up and going again. So I just saw where Ford is shutting down one of their plants, and Dodge is actually building vehicles without some of those modules in them. They're just going to build them and put them off to the side. And I think GM's done some of the same thing, where they're just going ahead and build what they can, but they're idling some of the lines. But whenever those modules come available, they'll stick them in there, program them up, and go again, you know?
Well, you know, we went through a stage there during our last presidential regime where we brought some of those factories, automotive factories, back to America. And we actually had one or two that they had some problems or threats or union threats or whatever from, you know, during that time, and Trump was able to work it out and all. Like, but now, since the taxes and all are increasing corporate-wise and on all this manufacturing and stuff, I see where Ford is closing one of their plants, and they're moving it to Mexico.
They're going to be building one of their new electric vehicles, electric trucks in Mexico from what they're talking about. So, you know, it's
I want to get in touch with Kim and see if that happened to be the plant that he was working on or helping design.
Well, I'm sure they're probably going to keep that one going, but, you know, I think he was working on one of the EV lines
right
up there. But anything they're doing with EV stuff, I think they're going forward with, you know, because all the manufacturers are that's where it's going. You know, it's they've all committed to,
but Kevin,
to being
Kevin,
electric.
Well, you know, answer me this. Where are we going to charge all them damn things? I mean, you know, we don't have charging facilities at our homes.
It's part of the new, you know, U.S. fitness program, too. They're going to give you one of these exercise bikes with a generator on it.
Oh, that's going to be the new CrossFit. So, I don't want one of those cars.
No.
I get tired too quick.
You
know, my COVID-19 fatigue factor is kicking in.
Right. Yeah, no, I don't know how they're going
to
do it.
I'm being honest about it. No, we're laughing and joking and carrying on.
Yep.
But damn it, I don't see any of these service facilities being built, you know, to mount to anything,
Yeah.
that would require. I mean, if we're going to have all these electric vehicles, it's going to require these charging points where, you know, these things can be charged.
You know, and it's, I don't know, it's going to be a major outlay for the dealers as well. You know, one of our
You can't take the damn car back to the dealer every time you want to charge your battery.
Right. But, I mean, we'll have vehicles that we have to charge.
Sure.
And we'll have quite a few of them we have to charge.
Yeah.
At that point, and one charger cost, I believe it was almost 10 grand for the charger.
Woo!
So,
do you have any idea or any specs on amperage or 220, 110, well, three phase, whatever?
Well, it's like a 280 or something volt,
so it's
charger.
Bigger. Well, we don't have this any homes that has carry that.
No. And you can, I mean, it can be even 440 voltage, that kind of stuff. So, well, it's,
I mean,
you know,
a business can feasibly have a 440 electrical system in their facility.
Right.
But there's no homes that have that.
Right.
I mean, homes have 220.
Right.
You know?
And, you know, off of a 220 circuit, you can charge and you can charge well. I mean, they're improving the batteries, but they're also improving chargers. You know? So that's coming. But, you know, that's just still technology that you're going to have. And, you know, one thing that, you know, no one really is talking about is you go buy one of these electric vehicles, it comes with a 110 charger. You know how long a 110 charger takes to...
Wait a minute. They come with a 110 charger?
They come with a 110 charger. Well, it takes 3 days to charge that battery.
Oh, my aching. So, no. Yeah. No, you know, you better get your long, stingy cord.
Yeah.
So, buy me a trailer. Get me one of the cars and buy me a trailer. Put one of 3,000-mile extension cords on.
Yeah.
I'll have 9 18-wheelers pulling the damn trailers back there.
Right.
And hope nobody don't run over and cut my damn cord.
Yeah. I tell you, it's going to be a challenge, no doubt.
Come on.
Yeah. So if you want to buy, you know, have a fast charger at home, you're going to have to, of course, you got to have it wired into your house. You got to mount it. You got to get all that done. And, you know,
that's not going to be cheap.
And the manufacturer that's selling the car is not going to come down and put it in. You know, it's going to be, you're going to have to buy it, have an electrician come over and do it. And you better hope it works. Yeah. Because.
Well, look at these guys that don't be buying these electric vehicles. To go within and contractors and mechanics and plumbers and what have you and carpenters and going out on job sites to, you know, mm-hmm. to do all this work and you know, then they're out there and they're running their skill saw and they're running their drills and all off of their batteries, you know, off of the 110 circuits on the truck,
right?
And then they run the battery down. Where are they going to charge? How are they going to charge the battery to get back home?
Well, I have complete confidence that they're going to let. It, just like they've done with motorhomes and stuff over the years, if you crank up and you run your generator, it'll only burn out so much fuel. It won't let you run yourself out of fuel where you can't drive it out of there, you know, wherever you happen to be.
So it'll do the same thing with electricity?
It'll shut it down. If you're using it off of the accessory side,
so it might shut
it'll
off
stop you before you get
at a quarter of a
right
a battery or whatever so that you got 40 or 50 miles of driving capacity or something.
It'd probably stop you somewhere around 50% capacity. Now, right now, most of the vehicles, like Ford that's doing it right now with theirs, it's a hybrid. So you're actually sitting there running the gas motor to generate that power.
Oh, okay.
You know, so okay. It's basically a big generator.
Okay.
You know? So
if I bought one, that's what I would want.
Yeah, but those are not what they're planning on doing.
That's like a boat. I don't want just one motor on the boat. And I can do that in the river. If a motor quits, I'd be all right. But if I'm going out in the bay, no, I want more than one motor.
Yeah, and I'll tell you a story on ourselves. You know, I was out fishing with my brother. He's got a very very nice boat.
Y'all did. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, we're sitting out there, and we're overnight fishing. We're fishing deep for tuna and that kind of stuff. And we're running it off of the starboard motor. Well, I didn't know this, but apparently my brother did, and he didn't remember it apparently. But the port motor is the one that actually charges all the house batteries, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no big deal. We had the generator going. It's got a big diesel generator on board. Powers up everything. But when you're running the air conditioner in the cabin, you're running radar, you're running a bunch of lights, you've got all your electronics going.
Depth finders, I guess, too.
Oh, yeah. And you're pulling a bunch of power.
Right.
Okay. Well, when you run those pretty little blue lights in the water, yeah, to attract fish.
Oh, yeah.
They also attract little fish, and they get sucked up in the generator inlet.
Oh.
And it overheats the generator.
Lord.
And the generator being shut off for overheating, it only takes about 3 or 4 minutes to suck the batteries down to the point where it won't crank a motor. So, luckily we had one motor going, but it wasn't the one that was recharging all the batteries. It had one battery, and they weren't tied to the rest. So I had to get a little ingenuity going to get everything back up and going. But
did it call on the car doctor to work on the boat?
Yeah. Luckily I was there, and we got them all. You know, of course, I didn't know his boat as well as I should have being out there.
Yeah, that being that far out. Yeah.
But there is a switch on the dash that he didn't know about that you can tie all the batteries together, which would have made it real easy to jump start the rest of the motors. But we didn't know about them. So I had to sit there and use vice grips and screwdrivers and stuff to jump across two
jumper
batteries
cables.
To get. Didn't have no jumper cables.
Never fear, the car doctor is here.
Yeah, I was using screwdrivers and pliers as jumper cables.
Oh, my Lord.
And we got them back up and going, and we were good from there. But, yeah, that was a little sketchy.
But, you know, if somebody, even like myself, or, you know, even with my mechanical background and all, I doubt if I could have got all that stuff going, you know?
Yeah. It's interesting when you do that. But, you know, that one thing I told them, I said, I don't care what else you do, but go buy you a cheap set of jumper cables and throw on board. If that button quits working or something quits working, you can always use a set of jumper cables to jump across those four batteries you got on board and get enough juice to get one motor
deep
going.
Deep cell batteries, too.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. But, you know, just one of those things. You got to be prepared when you go out there that deep, for sure. You know, and that's, you got three motors and a generator, so you basically got four motors going, and we were down to one. We were going to be able to get home, but we weren't going to have no lights, no navigation, no radar, no nothing, and it was middle of the night, so luckily we got everything back up and working. But anyway, we're going to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Well, I left Kentucky back in 49 and went to Detroit working on assembly line. The first year they had me putting wheels on Cadillacs. Every day I'd watch them beauties roll by, and sometimes I'd hang my head and cry, because I always wanted me one that was long and black.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Ramco, along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 0106. But I tell you, it's spring is here.
It has sprung.
It has sprung. I don't know if anybody's noticed or not. There's pollen all over everything.
Oh, yeah. The car wash found about it my car today.
I drove my hot rod today. You know, I had to go to a memorial service for one of our friends in the racing and hot rod community. They wanted some people to bring some of their cars out and that.
Oh, that was
so
cool.
So I washed mine up and, you know, got it all cleaned up, brought it out, and the two times today that I kind of wiped it off and blew it off, it's still covered in pollen again. So,
my Lord. Yeah. That was your 55?
Yeah.
Oh, man, what a beautiful automobile.
Woo. Thank you. I'm proud of it. It's a nice car.
Does that have a regular 350 in it or not?
Yeah, it's a 350 Chevrolet, small block, pretty mild. It's GM crate motor.
Okay.
Got a turbo 350 transmission. It's air conditioning, power steering, power brakes, you know.
They didn't have all of that in a 55.
Well, you get some of it, but it is all different. It ain't none of it from 55. So
that's what I was thinking.
Yeah. So it's,
does it have a 55 frame under it?
It does have a 55 frame.
What about the front end components?
The front end components are, but they've all been taken off and powder coated.
Okay. So it does, it's still a complete 55 frame.
It is 55 chassis, except for it's got a more modern power steering gearbox on it.
Okay.
That doesn't use the slave cylinder and valving that they used to run on those things that worked kind of, sort of.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So,
yeah. It's a much more drivable steering system
okay.
on
That's
it.
Cool.
So, but it's basically a stock suspension setup, which, you know, for what I'm doing, the car rides and handles well. It's got sway bars added front and rear, so
yes.
You know, it handles really well. I'd really have no complaints about the way it drives, you know. So,
well, you know, and I like the complete 55 like that. Mm-hmm. Sure, you know, you can put an aftermarket frame under it with all the aftermarket steering capacity and everything on it with a different power steering type units and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, you know. And mm-hmm. But, hey, man, you've got a 55 Chevrolet.
Yeah.
And it's a 55 Chevrolet. It's not a mod, you know.
Right, right.
Car.
You know, and if I wanted to go big tires and slalom course racing and all this kind of stuff, I'd do it.
This is a classic car.
This is a cruiser.
It's a cruiser, right.
My days of going fast on the highways are over, you know, trying to see how fast I can go back roads.
Whoa. Did you hear that, Phil?
Did you?
Can you? This is recorded, right?
Right.
Do we have copies of this? Well, and what did you say now?
I didn't say that I wouldn't go over the speed limit. I just said that my days of trying to see how fast I can go.
Ooh, I missed that portion of it. I thought I had it, Phil.
Yeah. But
I was going to look at his right foot and see if his damn thing had fell off. But that would be the only thing to keep him from not running fast.
Oh, I know.
He'd have a stump.
I can.
Well, yeah, but knowing him, he'd be pushing with a stump.
I know. One time, I can remember testing your nerves one night coming from Mobile Ooh. International Speedway back to your shop. To
yeah,
get some parts.
We did. We did come back. What did we go get? A clutch?
I think it was bearings for the motor.
Oh my God! Good. Yeah, we did do some unorthodox things in the pits.
Yeah. But I was in my Chevelle convertible, and it was a good top speed car. It was
top speed car, right? Yeah. It took me a while after I got to the shop to get out and, you know, quit shaking all over. When you get the top cat shaking from riding in a car, you know it was fast. You know, I think we were from the racetrack to my shop, got the parts, and was back out there in less than 30 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm going like, what?
It was quick.
It was quick.
And you couldn't do all of that on the interstate back then. You had to get off on Nanny at, I don't know, where were we at? I think you get on the Theater of Dollars. You could get it was about the closest you could do it. So we had to bend a few limits there.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah.
But we made it back.
We did. Hey, you know, well, they had it tore down by the time we got back there. And we put it all in and went out and raced. You know, what can I say?
Yeah. Not the first time we did some crazy stuff.
Isn't that the truth? Yeah.
Yeah. Building motors in the pits.
Well, back in the day, there wasn't nothing to do in the changing out of motor.
Right.
You know? I mean, even NASCAR did that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
NASCAR could blow a motor qualifying, and they'd come in and put another motor in, a new motor in it, with all quick change couplings and all that stuff, and they'd be back in line ready to go when the flag come up. But that got to be so good.
I think Waltrip did it in somewhere around 11 minutes.
Yes.
And they put an end to it.
Right. They decided they would quit that.
Yeah. It was like, no, this is getting a little crazy. So,
yeah. Well, I think when they did that, though, Kev, they lost control over what they were running and what kind of motor they were running and if it was legal or not legal and what they were adding when they was – Supposedly swapping, you know.
Right.
They were adding things.
Oh, yeah.
It's funny how, you know, a car would blow up qualifying, but then it would go faster when you put the other motor in it. Right. What?
Why wouldn't you run in that one all the time?
Yeah, what?
That's our backup motor. It's wore out. And
oh, it's wore out. Yeah, it's going to bust in a minute. It's going to break.
Yeah. So, yeah, they. It's funny that Walter was one the one that blew up crossing the start finish line too.
Wasn't that funny?
All-Star race. Yeah.
Wasn't that funny how that worked?
I mean, kicked her butt and then blew up just as you crossed.
You know, if you put it in neutral and rev the motor wide open,
they'll tend to do that.
Somehow or another, they blow up.
They will tend to do that.
They didn't have rev limiters on them then. You know?
Yeah. So, you know, hey, I don't know. That's a little brave, too. I don't know if I want to blow a motor on purpose at 180 mile an hour. And
ooh, it takes guts, doesn't it?
And get that oil under the tires and hope you can hang on to it.
Yeah.
You know.
But, you know, you don't want to be illegal either.
No.
If you win a race, you don't want to lose it.
Right.
But if the parts are scattered all over the damn track across the infield, it's kind of hard to determine what they had in it.
Yeah. They, you know, probably felt sorry for him. Said, we'll just let him go on through. There ain't no point in checking that one.
Oh, yeah. He don't have nothing left to check, man. What you talking about?
That one's broke. We'll leave him alone. So, I don't know. It's interesting, but... Anyway, we get back and got off
subject
there.
We're spring. What about our cars, man? Don't we need to get them checked now? And I'm scared to get out on the road still with the pandemic thing. And you don't know what areas may be open on the interstates.
Right.
And out on the roads.
Well, you know.
I think it behooves us to make sure our damn cars are right when we get on the road this summer.
There's so many people that are... They've been cooped up. They're ready to go. They want to get out on the road and do something, go see what's going on. You know, we need to be checking our tires. We need to get, you know, the car serviced, of course. But once we get past this worst part of the pollen season, you're probably going to need a cabin air filter. You're probably going to need an air filter.
I think so. Yes. Definitely.
I can pretty much guarantee you wipers are not going to be working right.
Right.
You know, so. You don't want to leave that stuff sitting on the car any longer than you have to either, because it'll get in the paint and it makes it hard to get cleaned back up too. So, you know, you can actually damage the surface of the paint if it just sits there. But, you know, it's that time of year. The weather's just going to get hotter as we go from here. So you're going to start seeing the carcasses of the blowed out tires on the side of the road from people traveling. Your car's been through all the winter months, and you know the cold air and everything else has let the air pressure get down on the tires. I guarantee you, there's a bunch of people out there running around on low air pressure. And just general maintenance. You know,
well, in another area that you didn't mention is the batteries. In the past years, we could run a battery 4, 5, 6 years sometimes, according to what conditions that they was working under, but. With the excessive drain on our batteries now from the electrical systems that we have in these vehicles, if you can get over 3 years on a battery and you're going to go take a trip, you need to have somebody put a indicator on that battery to see what kind of shape it's in. And that being said, you guys at the dealership have that kind of facility, don't you?
We do.
Kind of equipment?
You know, and we have some electronic equipment that does basically a non-loaded inspection of the battery. It can actually test the battery electronically versus a load test on it.
Well, back in the day, we had to put a load on it, you know, and it actually pull the battery down.
Right. You had to put a pretty heavy load on it to see what it would do. And there's times for that now, but generally we can do a better or as good, if not better, test of the battery with a piece of electronics
the load factor that we used to have to do, I thought damaged it. So,
well, I mean, you're pulling a pretty heavy load on it, and you're pulling more of a load on it than what you would just from starting or whatever.
Like the new electronic deal. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, absolutely. But we had a text message here from Dave, and he wants some clarification on his tires from earlier. We were talking about his 2020 Honda Fit about the roaring noise from the tires probably being on the back a little too long. He says, so Kevin, are you recommending I rotate the front to back every other oil change? No, I'm actually recommending you do it every oil change.
Ooh, okay, so, really?
You can't do it too often.
So you talk about 3,000 to 5,000 miles or whatever?
Yep.
Oil change?
What we typically recommend at UJ is every 5,000, and that's pretty getting to be pretty standard now across most of the dealers. My personal vehicles, I do them every 3,000. And every oil change, I rotate my tires. You got to stop it from setting up that wear pattern before it does it, because it's really hard to get it to clean it up on its own. So if you do it often enough, you'll stop that wear pattern from setting in, you know, and you'll get more mileage out of all four tires. So,
man, okay, that's cool.
Yep. So it's a better thing to do every oil change, you know, and that's just, you know, it's easier to remember that you got to get it done when you get the oil changed,
yeah,
rather than, well, did I do it last time or didn't I do it last time?
Right.
You know, so, and you know, when you're recommending oil changed every 5,000 miles, 10,000 is too far. You know, you've already set up a wear pattern on the tires.
Okay.
By that point. So.
And it will do that?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And honestly, the front-wheel drive vehicles are worse about it than any of them.
Well, what the hell's causing them to cup?
Well, it's just the rear tires don't have much load on them, and it's just something to do with the way the load and and that on the rear tires, they tend to cup.
Do they set up a harmonic in them or something? Or
it's got to be some kind of oscillation in the tire, you know. But it's enough to make it sit there and get a wear pattern in it for a cupped wear.
All right. Hey, good note, guys.
Yep. Well, we're going to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The Doctor is in.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. Speaking of calling in, we have a caller online. Caller, are you with us? Hello.
Good evening, fellas.
Hey, what's going on?
It's the Jarhead.
Hey, Jarhead in the house.
Hey, I was just listening to you guys a while ago, and don't think that just because I don't call in every week that I ain't listening, but, you know, y'all were talking about the batteries and how they don't last like they used to.
Right.
And now, I want your opinion. Do you remember when we used to have a little thing called a voltage regulator and a generator where the car actually ran off what the generator was making, and not running off the battery, and all the alternator now is doing is charging the battery.
Yeah, and I don't know. You know, the big problem is that, you know, they're trying to shut the alternator down so it's not drawing on the motor, so you get better fuel economy when you don't absolutely have to have the extra power. You know, the batteries themselves, I think, are actually way better than they used to be. But I think we've got such a load on them that it's taxing on the batteries. And these cars, I tell you what, when they start getting weak, they go stupid.
You could crank a car up and disconnect the battery, and that's something going would run.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you run off of the alternator.
Yep, you won't do that now.
Not nowadays.
Yeah.
You take one of them bad boys loose now, and then see if it don't screw up the world.
Oh yeah, yeah. You're liable to fry everything in the vehicle at that point.
Well,
sell a thing now where you can, if you're getting ready to change your battery out, you can hook this thing up, and it will save your codes.
Right, right.
So when you put the battery back in, you know everything. Right. Kind of stays the same.
Put it in a cigarette lighter.
Yep.
Yep.
Now that's if you got to make sure it's a cigarette lighter that is on when the vehicle's turned off.
Oh, come on, man. You're getting too damn technical.
Wait, Kevin. Tom, do they actually sell cigarette lighters in cars now? Or is that a power port?
It's an accessory port.
It's an accessory port.
I haven't seen an actual cigarette lighter in, I don't know
we
how
would,
long.
Wouldn't there have a cigarette lighter in a car nowadays now, would we?
Oh, no, Lord, no. You know, no, it's an accessory port.
Right.
There you go. All right, guys. Y'all have a great night, and we'll talk to you later. Hey, March Madness is going on. Bama's rolling.
Oh, hey, what's the score?
It was they're ahead by 11 at the half.
Oh, cool. Okay, that's good. All right, thank you, buddy.
All right, y'all have a great night.
Appreciate it.
All right. All right, question.
Yeah.
Does the car run strictly off of the battery now, electrical? And as we were just discussing there, then the alternator charges the battery, period? Or well, where are we at there?
Yes and no. You know, the it actually is running off of the battery. And they always run off the battery, but, you know, and you're – whether it's a generator or an alternator.
Well, let's talk about alternators,
Putting voltage back in the battery. But the problem is we're taxing the charging system so much that even though we may have a 180-amp alternator, there's things that draw more than that on the car when you put it under heavy load.
Ooh.
You know, so you got to be careful what you're doing, you know. Battery connections are extremely important on these vehicles.
The connections,
You know, because, you know, like, you know, you got to remember, most of our vehicles now have electric power steering. And when you put it in a load, you're drawing a high current. If that battery cable gets a poor connection, or the cable itself, you know, is bad. You know, we have issues with the cables themselves where they're crimped together and all that kind of stuff, not making good contact in there at times. If it's got too much of a voltage drop across that cable, you'll lose power steering, or you'll have your radio may glitch and go off.
We don't need to go there.
It may stall.
We don't need to go there. Yeah.
I absolutely hate seeing one come in that's got an aftermarket battery in it. Because rarely is it the same size battery that came out of it. Mm-hmm. If you got a good quality aftermarket battery, and it is the proper type and size, it's okay. I mean, I have no problem. It doesn't have to be a GM battery, yeah. But it does need to be the right makeup battery, which
sure.
would be the AGM, you know, Zorb glass mat battery, or and the correct cold cranking amperage and all that for, and it needs to fit properly
right.
in the vehicle
right.
because it doesn't need to be sliding around in the battery box and all this kind of stuff that I see all the time.
Well, that's where you start getting a lot of cable problems then.
Right. You're constantly moving all that stuff around and it ain't meant to move around.
Right.
You know,
it's supposed to be locked down.
It needs to be solidly mounted.
Right.
You know, and most of these aftermarket batteries do not fit properly in the battery box. Some do. I'm not going to say all, but
yep.
some do.
You're right.
But just be careful. And if you use an aftermarket battery, you know, make sure it fits properly. But you can't buy a cheap battery anymore.
Nope.
So don't bother looking.
Nope. You know? Just about everything is out there now. Even some batteries for 69 Camaros are $100.
I'd be surprised if you could buy it for
$100. $114.
Right.
I'm going right. like, what?
Yeah.
So I bought three batteries
mm-hmm.
for the same car in less than 4 months. And this electrical system is good.
Uh-huh.
It's working fine. I've got the two batteries from a certain place and then wound up taking them back. They were good. We checked the charging all on me, recharged. I said, well, that's funny. They wouldn't take a charge off of my charging machine. You know, so then another one did the same thing. So I went to another place, mm-hmm. got another brand, and put in there.
Right.
And have not had a problem since then.
Right, right.
So I don't know what's going on here.
Yeah. These things happen.
I know just enough to get me in trouble.
You know, and unfortunately, the manufacturers and all of them are the same, just like GM. Yeah, they're very specific. They make you document everything when you go to replace a battery under warranty.
Right.
You know, they're bound and determined that they don't want to pay for a battery they don't have to.
Well, totally.
And I understand this.
Totally.
You know.
Yeah.
So they've got very sophisticated machines that charge and test and all that, and it'll go through as much as an hour and a half almost charge period, you know, to check the battery and it'll test it. if it does not fail, we can't replace it, you know. But there are times that I know that battery's bad, you know, but GM won't pay for it.
Really?
So, you know, we got to let it fail again and let it fail until it, you know.
That's been a damn ripoff market for the last 50 damn years, because I've been in the industry that long.
Yeah.
And batteries have always been that way. If the damn car won't start, put a battery in it.
Yeah.
Put a battery in it. Well, right. You know, 90% of the time, it wasn't a friggin' battery.
Well, it's usually something killed the battery.
Right, right. You know so a draw or something.
The easy fix is, okay, it's dead. Let's put a battery in it.
Put a battery in
it. It's got to be what it is. Well, not
necessarily. Well, the battery companies, you know, under warranties and returns, eat all of that.
Right.
So now, you know, and then, so I'm sure that General Motors has got their own batteries.
Well, it's a Delco battery, so it's,
it's got their own batteries.
Under their brand, but it's, and they're good pieces. I do remember not that many years back where you could have a Delco battery and it would crank the car test perfect, crank it, and you run down the road and you get out and you go grab you a Coke and come right back, it'd be deader than a hammer.
Ooh.
You jump it off, you could drive 2, 3, 4 weeks, never do it again. And then all of a sudden it just die again, you know?
Say what?
But we don't have that problem anymore, thank God.
Thank God, yeah. So, that wouldn't last. Yeah.
No, but it makes it tough, no doubt. But it's just one of the challenges we have to go through. So, about how much time we got, Philip?
We're
counting down. So, anyway, I want to thank everybody for listening to the Car Doctor Show. This is the Car Doctor, Kevin Ramick, along with Tom Flaxen. And we will be back next week.
Hoorah.
Well, I left Kentucky back in 49 and went to Detroit working on assembly line. The first year they had me putting wheels on Cadillacs. Every day I'd watch them beauties roll by, and sometimes I'd hang my head and cry, 'cause I always wanted me one that was long and black. One day I devised myself a plan that should be the envy of most any man. I'd sneak it out of there in a lunchbox in my hand.